This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 28, 2008. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-33. General Counsel's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document 08-12 responds to an advisory opinion request submitted by Council for Club for Growth PAC. Club for Growth PAC is the separate segregated fund of Club for Growth and is a multi-candidate committee. Club for Growth PAC plans to purchase radio and TV time for independent expenditure ads that expressly advocate election or defeat of a candidate, including 10 and 15 second television ads. Due to the brief duration of the ads, Club for Growth PAC asks whether it may dispense with the spoken stand-by-your-ad disclaimer required by FEC regulations while still including the required written disclaimer. It also asks whether, in the alternative, it may use a shortened version of the spoken disclaimer. The draft before you concludes that the proposed ads must contain the full standard spoken disclaimer. We received two comments on this draft. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Before we discuss the matter, I'd like to recognize the Vice Chair regarding suspending the rules for a late submitted document on this matter.
Thank you once again. I would like to move the approval of a late submitted document to the draft advisory opinion, really in the cautionary language at the end. And I'd be glad to read it if it's a pleasure of the Commission, or just move it and then discuss it.
We need a motion to move the requirements for the timely submission of documents so we can consider it.
Which I did.
Yeah. I think the Chair has heard a motion to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider a late submitted document. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it.
The late submitted document adds some language at the end of the draft advisory opinion, really in cautionary tone. There's two sentences where it says, any person involved in any specific transaction or activity which is indistinguishable in all material aspects from the transaction or activity with respect to which this advisory opinion is rendered may rely on this advisory opinion, CUSC 437 FC1B. Then is added, please note the analysis or conclusions in this advisory opinion may be affected by subsequent development in the law, including but not limited to statutes, regulations, advisory opinions, and case law. So that will be added to the advisory opinion when we vote to it.
Great. Turning to the AO, open up for any questions anyone may have of the General Counsel. Let's begin with the Vice Chair, and then we'll
have no
back
questions.
And forth. Mr. Peterson. Well, thoughts, comments, concerns? Doesn't have to be a question.
The question that's brought forward by Club for Growth and the exception to the standby your ad requirement that was added by BCRA, I think they raise an interesting question. I think that the request they make is a reasonable one. The difficulty that I think we run into in this case is that in 441D, when it with respect to ads run by non-candidate committees, the statute is pretty clear, and it, in fact, is so clear as to actually give the script for what non-candidate committees must say in their standby your ad disclaimer. Again, I think that the case that is made on practicality grounds is a good one, but it runs headlong into that statutory language, and to vary from that would make me feel a little bit uncomfortable, and I think that in this case Congress has spoken very clearly as to what it wants when non-candidate committees run their ads, and for that reason I plan to support the draft.
Commissioner Bowerly? Nothing. Commissioner Hunter?
Mr. Chairman, I associate my comments with those of my colleague, Commissioner Peterson, and would just like to point out that I hope the Commission considers in the future providing a recommendation in our legislative recommendations to Congress, asking Congress to consider tracking the language in the same statutory provision Commissioner Peterson referenced, which allows candidate committees to include, quote, a statement that identifies the candidate and states that the candidate has approved the communication, end quote, which allows, of course, the candidate to be a little bit more flexible in the words that they choose to state that they stand by their ad. Thank you.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree the statute is pretty clear, and I understand what's going on here. I'm sympathetic to the fact that people don't like to have to pay extra money in order to put these disclaimers in because it's not their language. They feel like, you know, that's not what I want to say. I want to pay to get my message out. That's not really part of my message. That's just additional language. And every additional word that I put in, I have to pay for. But that is clearly what Congress had in mind, that whoever pays for the ad would indeed pay for the extra time for that language. And we've seen 15-second ads that manage to include the language in. It's true, it doesn't give you a lot of time, but, you know, if you want to say more, I guess you can pay for a 20-second ad or a 30-second ad. But I do think the draft is completely consistent with the statutory scheme, and I'm prepared to support it.
Thank you. If I could for a minute, not only is it consistent with the statutory scheme, it's really mandated by the statutory scheme. It's certainly not a result that I personally like, and this is one of those situations where one's personal views are really not what one gets to do in this position. They have to follow the statute. As I said in my confirmation hearing, that's where I would look first, and the statute, I think, is remarkably clear in that it treats candidate stand-by-your-ad language differently than non-candidate stand-by-your-ad. Hence, advisory opinions such as 2004-10, the Metro Radio AO, that dealt with candidates, that did not deal with outside groups, and hence there was some flexibility that was in the language. But same is true of text messaging. That's not the same situation as here. I want to make that clear. This is not, in my view, this AO does not reach out and touch prior AOs in any way, shape, or form, does not limit the reach of, I think it's 2002-09, which is the text messaging AO, or 0410, which is the Metro Radio AO. There are some really, strong speech arguments here against this sort of thing, but the reality is that the statute says what it says, the Commission regulation says what it says, and the U.S. Supreme Court in McConnell upheld it, at least on its face. I haven't found any lower court cases or state court cases or federal cases of dealing with state laws that are similar that have struck this down. So I really don't have much of a hook to hang my hat on as far as a constitutional argument at this point, although certainly if one reads McIntyre from the U.S. Supremes about the unconstitutionality of some disclaimers on independent speech, as this is, or the compelled speech doctrine as set forth in United Foods case, which is the mushroom ads where they forced folks to run certain ads, I think those arguments certainly may see the light of day down the road. I just don't think those arguments are the sort of arguments that the Commission can hear today rule on, especially in light of the facial upholding in McConnell, even though it was a 5-4 decision. Again, this is express advocacy. This is not talking about anything other than what the face of this AO presents to us. And the statute is, in my view, clear in that it has the language in quotes, shall state the following, and has it in quotes, unlike all the other provisions of disclaimers, which allow, I think, a lot more flexibility. So I think Congress did put special emphasis on this because of the quotes, and that's why I'm going to support the staff draft as written. Other comments, concerns? If not, Mr. Vice Chair, would you care to do the motion on voting on the AO?
Yeah, I move the approval of a draft AO 2007-33.
All in favor?
But as amended, right?
As amended,
yes.
Sorry, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda, Draft Advisory Opinion 2008-05, request by Howland and Knight. The General Counsel Office gets situated, and I'll turn it over to them. Actually, while we're waiting, while we're getting organized over there, why don't we, Mr. Vice Chair, why don't we make the motion regarding the late submitted document?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda document 0813 in connection with Advisory Opinion 2008-05, which will contain the same language as was approved by the Commission in the previous AO.
Hearing that motion, all in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Levin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, the commissioners. The commission has received a request for an advisory opinion from Holland & Knight, a law firm that is organized as a limited liability partnership, an LLP, under Florida law. Last October, the firm elected to be taxed as a corporation for federal tax purposes rather than as a partnership. The firm will be continue to be treated as an LLP under Florida law and the laws of all other states in which it operates. The firm will be taxed as a partnership in Massachusetts and Florida, but will be taxed as a corporation in other states. The firm asks whether it is a corporation or a partnership under the Act and Commission regulations, whether it may administer and financially support the Holland & Knight Committee on Effective Government as its separate segregated fund, and if the answer to the second question is no, whether the firm may continue to contribute to the committee as a non-connected political committee. The agenda document presents two alternative drafts. Draft A concludes that the firm is a partnership and not a corporation for the purposes of the Act and regulations because the firm is a limited liability partnership under Florida law. Hence, the firm may not administer or support the committee as its SSF. Instead, any administrative or financial support, including expenses for soliciting contributions to the committee, would constitute a contribution. The firm may make contributions up to $5,000 per year to the committee, and such contributions are duly attributable to the firm and its partners pursuant to 11 CFR 110.1E. Draft B concludes that the firm is a corporation under the Act, based principally on the fact that the firm has elected to be taxed as a corporation by the IRS, using a basis similar to the Commission regulation on corporate versus partnership treatment of limited liability companies. Draft B notes that the firm, like corporations and LLCs, provides limited liability to its owners, and also notes that the firm is taxed as a corporation in all but two of the states in which it operates. As a corporation, the firm would be able to treat the committee as its SSF and pay the costs of administering the committee and soliciting contributions to it without thereby making a contribution. However, as a corporation, the firm would no longer be able to make contributions.
Thank you. Vice Chair?
Well, I think, although you called on me, I plan to support Draft B, but I understand the consensus of the Commission is for Draft A, so my thought would be to let someone move for Draft A, and we can discuss the merits of it. If someone wants to move Draft A, then probably that's the best approach to take at this point.
Okay.
Hearing none.
Thank you. Move Draft A for a vote. Anyone care to discuss Draft A before we vote? Mr. Peterson? We'll go back and forth. Okay. Mr. Bowerly, anything? No. Mr. Hunter? Mr. Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is back again.
Last but not least.
I hope so. This request is before us for the second time, and last time I supported Draft A, although I can't remember whether it was Draft A or Draft B the last time. It might have been. Was it still A? Okay. you know, that normally we defer to state law on these definitions of who's a corporation and who's a partnership under state law, under the relevant state law, they're a corporation. Seems to me that that's the simplest way of looking at this. I think it's reasonable minds could disagree. We could go in a different direction, but I supported draft day before. I support draft day now. I'd be happy to move draft day if nobody else wants to talk about it.
I actually have a few thoughts.
And your colleague apparently does.
Oh, you do?
I just don't have many words to say on this. I just wanted to say that, reconsidering how the commission has traditionally treated partnerships and LLPs, in an advisory opinion context, it's difficult to know what the full-reaching implications of that decision would be. And I'm not comfortable reaching out and making that change through the advisory opinion process. If at some point the commission decides that through a rulemaking that we may want to reconsider how we treat LLPs that are similar situated to the requester in this case, I'd be comfortable doing that. But in the advisory opinion context, I feel more comfortable, I think, with the rest of my colleagues, excepting the vice chairman, supporting draft day.
Just my thoughts on draft day. I have some sympathy for Holland and Knight and was originally inclined to let them have a pack if you saw the issue that way, but then I thought more about it and realized that what we're doing potentially is expanding what it means to be a prohibited source, because we would be redefining what it means to be a corporation and expanding it into LLP world. The commission's never viewed LLPs, as far as I know, as corporate entities. Congress has not reached out and touched them, so to speak, and made them a prohibited source. Statute has said what it said for years. And there has not been a rulemaking on it, unlike LLCs, which by their own name has at least the word corporation or corporate indicia in their. LLPs, I think, are different creatures. And for really clarity, I was, although originally was inclined to go with Holland and Knight allowing themselves to be classified as a corporate entity, at least for purposes of the Act, I don't think under the Act they can be deemed a corporate entity, and because of precedent and the statutory language, I think an LLP remains a partnership. With that, hearing no other comment, I'd like to move. Oh, sorry, Mr. Vice Chair.
This is the time for me to make my feelings known, and we won't be moving for draft B. But I think, first of all, I'd like to thank Holland and Knight for waiting so long for some guidance on this. I'm not sure who's out here, but I know they waited. We had two meetings, I think, before where they had to wait a long time, and then we deadlocked, and here we are again. I'd voted for draft B before and still think it's I'm most comfortable with that. We inched our way along toward a regulation before in connection with LLCs, and I see this in somewhat the same approach. I recognize the concern over the impact on others, and I do think that if we were to approve something like draft B, we could make it clear that it's for draft B purposes only, like we did with the previous ones for LLCs, and work our way to the point where we felt comfortable with the regulation. Maybe the best way to go at this point is to offer a regulation and let there be public input on the extent to which there would be impact on others, and see how we sit at that point. But and I respect the views of my colleagues on this. It can go both ways, and in my view, be quite reasonable.
Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add one small point, since the Vice Chairman alluded to are having deadlocked on this issue before. We did have a 3-2 vote on this. We couldn't come up with 4 votes last year for either draft, but it was not on party lines. And a lot of times when people talk about deadlock on the commission, they assume that it's a 3-3 split. It goes on party lines, and as frequently happens, you know, people have different ideas, and you know, there weren't 4 people who had the same idea last time, so we couldn't give an answer before. But I think it's worth noting that the deadlock was not in any way partisan. And with that, I'm happy to move approval of draft A.
Then go ahead.
I move approval of draft A.
All in favor?
As amended.
As amended. Thank you. All in favor of draft A as amended, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
5-1. Draft A passes. I'd like to thank the General Counsel for their work on both of these. 2AOs, 6051. Appreciate the work and the effort it took to at least get us this far. Thank you very much.